Blog Talk Radio.
This is Sports Inside and Out. Legends of Sports, the voice of Legends of Sports. When legends speak, people listen. Now, here's your host, the coach, Chuck Hatcher.
Welcome to Sports Inside and Out, and I'm your host, the coach, Chuck Hatcher. All right, welcome to the show, and thank you for letting us be a part of your Saturday morning on our Saturday Morning Update podcast, of course. And again, great shout out to all of our military men and women around the world. That's right. And our prayers and condolences, of course, go with those who suffered and was killed in the senseless violence and in Paris and abroad in Mali, and our prayers and our wishes go out for those who were injured and killed and their families, of course. And hopefully God knows what this terrorism situation is coming to, but it's all in God's hands. But we're going to do what we can to keep it up. That's right. Voted the number one sports talk show for legends on radio. And today we're going to be talking about the NCAA. Great kickoff, and get some standings on from the purity of the sport, the NCAA, both men and women, particularly the men taking center stage right now, and a little overview of the NBA as well. And we wait on our guys to come up, our Hall of Famers, contributors, Wally Jones, legend from the Philadelphia 76ers, NBA legend, and our facilitator for the Wally Wonder segment, of course, and Bobby Zorro Hunter, a Harlem Globetrotter legend, will be popping up here very shortly. And matter of fact, I think I see Wally's coming up now.
Yeah,
Wally,
coach.
What's up? Hey,
coach,
what's up, Wally?
I'm doing good, Coach. I just thinking about a good friend of ours from the Squires and also a New York legend. I want to congratulate Charlie Scott. North Carolina, Rolando Blackman, of course, from Kansas State, Quinn Buckner from Indiana, and John Havlicek from Ohio State, and Ed Ratliff from Long Beach State. They're inducted into the NCAA Basketball Hall of Fame.
Praise the Lord.
So
all right, and no better fitting thing. Yeah, man, that's fantastic.
That's right.
Good news, good news. And we got to reach out for Charlie and extend our congratulatories and, of course, see if we can get the Charlie and, of course, any of the other guys that we can possibly get. I think we one time we had, if I'm not mistaken, one of those we had on the show, not just for Charlie. Was it who was that? One of the three inductees.
Well, Rolando Blackman from Kansas State, because my son went there, one of the top scorers in the Kansas State history. So I remember that opportunity. But I'm really, when I think of that also, there are also some coaches inducted, Lou Henson, Donahue, and the late C. Felton Zip Gales. We're going back there with that. But for our listeners, it's very important to realize that these college Hall of Fames are very important in our society to recognize some of the great college players. Now, when you talk about John Havlicek, my goodness, I had so many years competing against him with the Boston Celtics, one of the great Boston Celtics Hall of Famers. And
it's
interesting that he was inducted this late. He should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago, but that's another issue.
Hey, we don't even get into the politics of sports anymore. We talk what we got to say, give our point of view, and we just take it for what it is. But we will tell what's on our mind. That's the only thing we can do, Wally.
That's so important. I've been following this college thing. It looks real good. I saw Kentucky play Duke, and they really do good. People don't realize the backcourt is so important in college basketball. They have one of the outstanding recruiting class again. Of course, they took down Duke, and then Duke came back and beat one of our favorite teams, VCU, last night.
Yeah, they did.
Grayson Allen's had 30. But I've been watching it. North Carolina looks good. Maryland beat Bill Baggett's son's Ryder.
I saw the game. Yeah. I saw the game. Very good game.
Yeah, we're doing the same thing I'm doing. We're watching these games. And very exciting college basketball. Very exciting. So
yeah, I paid attention to Ryder because of Baggett's son. And, he's going to have a great career in coaching. He's got a good brand that he's put on that team, and you know it's an extension of that Philadelphia basketball. It's very obvious. His Philadelphia roots is telling on that. You know, so we want to look at that, and of course the standings. Of course, I'm very impressed with North Carolina, Wally.
Yeah,
Nimcat's got it going on, man. I mean. He's got five on the bench.
He's got a Kentucky last year.
He's got last year's Kentucky, it looks like to me. I mean, not the dynamic personalities, but he's got those role players that are really doing something very special, of course. And, you know, and then Maryland, of course, number three. Hey, ooh, you know, it's very interesting. Yeah.
Football players right down the line. Virginia, Iowa State, Oklahoma is number eight. Wichita State's always been there. Villanova's pushing up on 11.
Villanova's 11. Very great game. I saw they gave a lot of kudos to Coach Wright on it because of he's really taking a under the radar team. Good players. But highly sought after, and he's turned him into another contender. It's very interesting, and hopefully we have Bobby coming up here in a second. It's very interesting how Coach Wright's name is always mentioned every season. He's kept Villanova in the mix ever since he's taken that program over. They've been very, very much relevant in the NCAA bracketing and standings. And in the past 3 years, he's been in the top five consistently.
Yes, he has. He has a tremendous guard. Rick Brunson's son. Rick Brunson played for Temple in the NBA, and his son's a tremendous guard. A ball player that I see, a combo. I mean, he can play the point and a scoring, but he's a top player. Under 19 helped the United States win the under 19 championships during this summer. I watched him play. Filling out that Arizona 12, Michigan State again. Izzo always has a good team. He's a very, very good coach. Indiana, California. Utah got upset by Miami. People don't realize Miami had some ball players last year that took them all the way to the NCAA Final 16. And these guys are going to be a surprise. University of Miami beat Utah last night.
But Vanderbilt,
Notre Dame, 18. Connecticut is in there, 19. Baylor, Purdue, Butler.
Right.
Butler beat Temple. I watched that game. A very good game.
Outstanding
players.
The
kid I keep telling you about, the player of the year from Monte Verde down here in Florida, Ben Simmons, the player of the year high school. He's another Lamar Odom. I scouted Lamar Odom when he was at Rhode Island. He's that big and that handle from LSU. Chuck, whenever you get a chance, please watch this kid play. He is phenomenal.
Saw the highlights on him on the herd.
Saw the highlights on him on the herd.
6'11", intelligent, can handle it. They're comparing him to LeBron James. They're comparing it to LeBron James, but his handle is a little smoother than LeBron's.
Oh, man, he got a handle. He bends down and sees the floor. Excellent player. That's going to be somebody to look at in our college NCAA basketball, folks.
Bobby's coming up now. Bobby, this is you.
Come on, Saul, say it, baby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey.
I have no time for the collegiate. area. I've been watching Stephon the Surgeon Curry operate. I mean, it's something of beauty. And then they're beginning to calculate the defense in which he's playing. Mm-hmm. But overall, the Warriors, just when, you know, everything is you've forgotten, another player comes off the bench that you've forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, so they're deep. Everybody understands what's going on. I mean, you know, they're too comfortable. They're too comfortable.
Yeah, well, Bobby, I tell you what, I stayed up to 1:30 to watch that game against the Clippers. That was one of the most exciting professional games I've seen. When they went small, I never seen the ball move and guys shoot three pointers. Every last player on that floor can score and pass for that small lineup. Last night I watched them; they beat Chicago. Same way.
That small lineup,
I thought Chicago was going to be greater with the amount of bigs which they had, which they could take advantage of. But you just have to – Curry puts you to sleep, and then he wakes up on you, and that's 15 points.
So
it doesn't really matter. And then so tell him when Thompson will start, and then all of a sudden somebody comes that you don't remember. Who's that?
They got a basketball team. Luke Walton is doing a great job, fellas. I got to tell you, he has that basketball family, of course, son of Bill Walton, but he always had that basketball IQ when he played with the championship Lakers team, a fella that fit in, knew how to handle the ball. And I think that's the way basketball should be played. It's a sort of a model just like San Antonio. You move the ball, play basketball. You hit the open man and play together. You know, I like to see the ball moving.
But
I really like
it. Makes them feel very comfortable at times when things are bad. That's becoming very noticeable. You know what I mean? The way that he's approaching this, he has a job next year with someone.
You know what I see about him? He's extending himself as a player. He's making them feel relaxed and confident in themselves because he's not getting excited. And that's one of the first things that players look at a coach is his demeanor. Is he panicking? Is he, wait a minute, what is the coach is going off? Well, we must be in bad shape. But, you know, if you keep that demeanor as he's doing, he's a player's coach, not taking anything away from the previous coach, but he's a player's coach, and you don't see him getting overly barren. He say, okay, don't worry about it, man. Just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. If you got a coach that can understand and transmit that type of message to the players, then that gives them a whole different type of mindset. You know, that's almost like telling Wally, hey, listen, Wally, you got to get the ball out quicker, man. Hey, Wally, push it a little bit, man. Have some fun. Just push it down there. We have some fun. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, same thing with you, Zorro. If you're out there having fun in your zone, don't tell you not to be Zorro.
Yeah.
Tell me, put some old Zorro to work out there. Be the Riddler.
I wish somebody would have told me. That's what Red Auerbach said. Don't try to be Zorro here. what y'all saying is Mark Jackson did a great job.
He did. He set a template, you know, and it's good to be able to hear. We talked about this last week, and we also, listeners, Skip, we got a tremendous holiday medley of interviews coming up next week. Well, we talked about that it was good to be able to hear not just Walton, but Steve Kerr give the respects to Mark Jackson that he so definitely deserved. He said, it was easier for me because I just took what Mark Jackson had and his philosophy and just extended it and didn't change nothing. You know, he said one thing we always say, and I guess it's a cliche, if the wheel ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, they play basketball. great basketball.
You know, and they're bringing in the right people that has that have that same mindset, I guess you would say. You know, so
and when they bring in people off the bench, you know, they're hungry. To prove that they are part of this team, and they stay within the passing structure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Last year, I said that ball was moving like the Knicks of 1975.
That's right. That's one of the best passing teams, Bobby. One of the best passing teams. That's right. Those New York Knicks, those times with Frazier, Earl, the Busher, Phil Jackson, they passed the ball. That was one of the best NBA professional teams, the way they move that ball with Bill Bradley and all those guys.
Yeah.
But I'm going to jump on something. When you talk about the NBA, I'm looking at my team. Unfortunately, they look bad. 76ers may break a record for losing games. I'm not going to talk too much on that. But I'm not going to talk a lot on that because of that situation. But I feel bad about my old team. But I'm looking at they need some talent there.
And the worst thing about it is they're not getting any better. So, I got insulted because I told them, I said, Philadelphia does have some players. And they said, ooh, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, one of the best college players, and that he's going to make any team greater as soon as they discover to stop trying to play Philadelphia style and develop another one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't stop. But I like the Knicks winning, beating the Thunder last night. I like the Pelicans beating the Spurs. I watched those games.
That was very interesting.
I'm glad that they're coming around for Al Gentry. He's a good friend of mine that coached the Miami Heat at one time. And guess what, fellas? Mm-hmm. The Grizzlies. We know how bad they look when Golden State beat them by 50. Well, they beat the Rockets. I was hoping that Bickerstaff's son would have an opportunity to win two in a row, but they still go back to their old ways. The Grizzlies just pounded them and beat them up inside. They actually beat them up inside. There's young, Casal, 16. We had Conley with 26. Those guys are playing basketball again. So,
where's Bernie at?
I don't know. Bernie hadn't been around in a while. No, he coached for so many years, but he hasn't been on the team.
I saw him somewhere. His daughter. That's my old roommate from Globetrotter camp.
I
think he's back in Washington, D.C., and, his daughter is an agent. She's been an agent a long time, guys. I worked with her. Let me tell you, when I worked with her, she was representing some NFL players and a couple of, and her dad at one time. Her office is off of South Capitol. She's got a good staff. Of course, Bernie helped out a great deal, but she's a fantastic girl, very attractive girl, young lady, I should say.
Well, Coach, Bernie owes his career to me.
Really?
So there you go. Come on with it. Bernie was a great spot-up shooter when we were coming along as kids. You know what I mean? He had the same move as Bobby Joe and Curly Neal on the fast break pulling up for the jumper. Plus, he had, sliding left-hand hook, and then he was pretty clever. they put Bernie on the traveling team, and that time that team went to Australia, and we played Bismarck, North Dakota. I said, "Look, Bernie, I don't think you need to join this team. I think you need to go back to college. You know what I mean? Because you're one step away from possibly making a pro team." That's how good his game was at that time.
That's how good it was.
A matter of fact, we made the All-Ray Felix tournament. Bernie, myself, Connie Hawkins, Roger Brown, and the third person was, I hate to say this, some white guy from... I can't remember. What's happening to this my life? You know what I mean?
Symbola. Yeah.
It was either Symbola or Pyre. I can't remember which one. But he was a great player.
Yeah. I tell you what, fellas, I want you guys to look at the Suns did a great job last night. They have a tremendous scoring backcourt. Brandon Knight and Bledsoe combined for 60 points while they beat the Nuggets. The Mavericks beat the Jazz last night. The Mavericks are coming around to me, and I'm looking at these standings now, fellas. You got to realize how these standings are going to come out to, because they're going to be 18 out of the Eastern Conference and 8 out of the West. So it won't be the division winners. It'll be the top 8. So I'm looking at the where it sits right now, because when you look at teams that have some good records that are coming in, of course, Cleveland, Chicago, Indiana, watch Indiana, and Detroit. Mm-hmm. When you look at that central division, that's a tough division. Milwaukee's even bringing up 5-7. Tough
Detroit
division.
Detroit looks really good.
Detroit looks good. The other thing is Boston. People don't realize, don't sleep on Boston, fellas. That young coach there is doing a great job of coaching ball. They're playing some good basketball. New York is 7-6. Toronto 7-6. So I'm looking at
Wow. Did you see that dunk last night?
Oh my goodness, fantastic, man.
Come on.
Oh man. some fantastic plays now. I love to see the top 10 plays. But here you go with the Southeast, and you gotta look again. Atlanta's 9-5. Miami's 7-4. So you're looking at out of these Eastern Conference, these teams are right there at each other. So it's going to be hard to have that top eight, because Washington is right at 5-4. Charlotte's not playing bad, 7-6. So you got to look at Orlando, fellas, 6-6. That's the Eastern Conference when you talk about how it's going to really come down to a tight race to have the top eight.
Right.
Man, I'm going to tell you what. Top.
Wally,
you
know, I think that in coaching, you have to add in the possibility of injury and look at it as an over-possibility. And I don't think that's being evaluated properly within your team structure, when, of course, it never was before, but now you do.
No, you have
Chicago's a great team, and Derrick Rose is, forgive me, is never going to come back up to even close to that standard. And the team suffers.
Right.
Mentally they suffer, besides not developing another player to fit right in.
Right.
And if you look at the Boston, former Boston theory, the Spurs theory, the Warriors theory, you have a player already to fit into that position already.
Yeah, they got a nice player, Antoine Moore from Purdue, that comes off the bench. I like him as a young player. And believe me, fellas, they're 8-3. Cleveland's 9-3. But you look at that division, and when you look at the Central, Indiana 7-5, Detroit 7-5. I mean, that is a tough Central division. And when you look down this list again on the Eastern Conference, it's going to be a nice battle for those 8 spots. For the playoffs, it's going to be a nice battle.
For a change, this is going to make it even more more interesting and more energetic, because teams can't stay out there and say, listen, I just want to stay because, you know, we got so many teams going to qualify for the playoffs. You know, you got teams out there that ain't no way, shape, form, or fashion should have been in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
You know, if you tank in the top eight, it's almost reverting back to the old format. You're gonna take the top from the top from the East and top from the West, and then, you know, the eight, and you know, of course you with the expansion of teams, but you're getting more of a true parity in the league.
Yes,
and I think this is going to be good. You know, they all of these other things. You know, they finally admitted it was revenue driven.
Yeah,
everything was revenue driven. The more games, more teams, more money. You know, but now, of course, I didn't know that if it wasn't for the finals last year, Bobby and Wally, that the viewership had dropped off tremendously in the NBA.
Yeah, well, that last
it had folded right to the NCAA. They were tearing the NBA up for 4 months, man, until the Final Fours, and then, of course, playoff time was coming in. But, you know, that's very interesting that, you know, how the college basketball really took a good share of the viewing audience from the NBA, you know. So
what the NBA needs the Globetrotters to have a home team in the league. Okay, I heard that.
Come again.
What the NBA needs is to have a Globetrotter team in the NBA.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I mean, and you'd have a sure sellout. You'd have a sure sellout, and people would like to see the Globetrotters play straight ball, which they haven't seen for some 50 years.
Right. Integrating that natural showboat talent.
As I was going over it, first thing Leon Hilliard told me when I got in the cab, he said, get the ball out of your hands. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, get it out of your hands. As soon as it touched your hand, get it out. Know where you set it. I said, okay. But what I looked at when we when Connie and I, we played Connie, Jackie, Mel Davis, Curly. When we played a couple of straight games, we played the Puerto Rican team, we were looking at roughly 10 guys that played four different positions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great difference in sports if you have 10 guys that play four different positions.
Mm-hmm.
So you're substituting. You never run out of a substitute, and you never run out of one being able to house that position.
Well, Bobby, they don't have the talent like you guys had then. And let's be quite clear about Globetrotters then and now.
Yeah.
It's quite different. They don't have that talent. I mean, you have Woody Salisbury, Wilt, Andy. I mean, you have some players. Now, Bobby, I've seen the Globetrotters recently.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. We don't have to talk about that, do we? I'm sorry.
So the talent is...
Wally, I didn't really mean that.
Well, you know, the talent is a little limited there, but as you say, that's an interesting idea. But I'm going to go back again because I want you guys to realize what's happening with the Western Conference. You got Utah, Oklahoma City 7-6. They're missing Kevin Durant. You're right, Bobby. Injuries play a toll on the NBA, and you see that with not only with Chicago, but so many other teams that are losing players. And when you look at the Pacific, Golden State 13-0. Phoenix 7-5, the Clippers.
Yep.
Clippers are, guess what? They're 6-5. And then you have Sacramento Lakers. They're not even considered. But here you go with San Antonio 9-3. But watch out, Dallas 9-4. Memphis is 7-6.
Did you see the Spurs play the other night? Tony Parker's performance?
Yes. Then again, Ginobili was hurt those games. The three games he was out. So that's age again. That's age again. Those guys got to get that rest.
Yeah.
But they got a
gotta
squad there. Spurs got a squad, so I'm not worried about them.
Leonard, Leonard is very plain that
he's outstanding.
Guys, we're just about finished. We got about 30 seconds to go. This podcast done shot by us. And before we get by, don't forget, tune in next week. We're going to have Otis Gilmore, Hall of Famer, Mike Gale. We're going to talk about that Kentucky Colonel Championship team for the ABA. We're going to have the Wally Wonder segment. It's going to be updating. Then, of course, we'll have the Harlem Globetrotter segment coming in, but it's going to be informational.
I want to pass the ball 1-2-3. The song is making the retired Globetrotter famous.
All right. Okay. Well, listen, we'll be with you same time next week. And don't forget, tune in on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter on our Sports Inside and Out Legends show coming up next week on SoundCloud. Okay, guys. Out of here.
All right, fellas. Have a good day, fellas.
All right.
Adios. Vuelvo hasta la mañana.
All right.